This is the shrink wrapper, and I have a subject, John.
Oh, yeah? What were you thinking of?
I was thinking of a statement I heard on the radio two nights ago where somebody who was following politics in the world and everything, and he made a statement, like it was supposed to be an announcement to people who were listening to the radio, and he said, "We're all going to die." And you know, I don't remember what brought that up, but it must have been related to the fact that many people were like trying to avoid that.
Okay.
and as if it was news to them.
Right.
Yeah. And then he added, and then to soften up, he said, "But you know, actually, we're all going to die sometime." That was supposed to soften it up, meaning sometime, meaning not now, you know.
Right. So because of the fact of our birth, we now have to die.
Yeah, because we had a beginning, we had to have an ending.
Right. You can't have one without the other one.
Yeah.
But we do tend, I think that's a really great topic. It's interesting to me that most people, at least here in the West, we're in the United States, we tend to think not at all about death. We don't want to think about it. We don't want to recognize it, but it frightens us. People go through their whole lives just refusing to even think about that. But it happens to every single time so far.
Yeah, and if you can like zero in on something when somebody has a narrow escape, like lightning strikes the tree next to them, but not the tree that that they're under. And yeah, they feel so relieved, you know, like, ah, I'm still alive. And they
yeah,
feel so relieved. And there's kind of a glow, like, I missed the lightning bolt, and therefore now I will live forever. You know, just sort of an immediate relief from the fear of death.
Well, and also they actually, at that point, they decide they're going to go ahead and be alive for a while. Whereas before they were kind of turned off.
Oh, that might have like inspired them to get more out of their life when they saw that it may be limited at any moment.
It wakes people up. It really does. You get a close call. You have an almost accident in your car, and your heart rate goes up, and you start really looking around, making sure of everything that's going on around you. And I wonder sometimes what it is that, why don't we do that all the time? Why do we only do that when we're very frightened?
You mean why don't we realize how lucky we are all the time, or realize how endangered we are all the time?
Well, not endangered so much as just being aware. We kind of put ourselves on an autopilot.
Yeah.
And we're just going through the motions. We're sort of a kind of an automaton where we push the button that's in front of us, and we're trying not to engage in whatever it is that we're actually doing, and as if that's what we should be doing, when the opposite is probably the truth. I don't know this for sure, but it seems to me like when I'm actually engaged in something and living in that moment, doing the thing that I'm doing, if I was driving, then drive. Be driving and be there for it, not on automatic where I can think the very least amount. It reminds me of our discussions on responsibility and how people tend to think responsibility is a bad thing. That, I don't want to have responsibility. Don't put that burden on, when in fact it can be looked at in just the opposite way. And it makes life feel a little bit better and smoother and nicer. And it's just more enjoyable to do that.
Yeah, it reminds me of a responsibility might be in a way synonymous with purpose.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. I'm working my way towards by saying the word purpose, I'm working my way towards another definition, which is the definition of the word die. Like, you know, people say, "I don't want to die," and you say, "Well, what do you mean?" And so they say I guess they mean they don't want to have a heart attack or a disease or something that's fatal. But I don't think anybody can really, when they say "I don't want to die," really explain what they mean.
Right. Well, not in real detail. And I think that goes back to what I was saying about we don't even think about it. There are some societies who it's a part of their upbringing to be to think about that and to talk about death as a part of life.
Yeah.
Since they know that everybody's going to go through that at some point, they talk about it and try to get some kind of an idea of what they think it is. But here in the West, we don't even, we shun that. We're frightened of it. So we miss out on what we could figure out about it because of that.
Yeah. So right now, bringing us back to now, we have this pandemic where would you say that around the world is like a tremendous upsurge of fear of death?
Oh, yes.
Like
death,
tremendous.
And there's all kinds of other stressors that are happening on top of that. It's just making life really difficult for many, right?
Yeah, so at the same time, there's a fear of death. The conditions for being alive are being constricted down to where people are fearful of losing their livelihood.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is also just another kind of long-winded way of being afraid of death.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're fearful of death, but they're thinking of fearful of running out of food, shelter, and so forth. But it really goes down to actual fear of disappearing from this planet and just evaporating
right.
into nothingness.
Well, you pass from a physical life, you expire. And that's terribly frightening for a lot of people. And I think that's mostly because we just don't know what it is. Most people haven't experienced that. We have a fear of the unknown already. And death is one of the things that we consider an unknown. And what it comes down to is that is one of the things that people can feel very strongly about death one way or another. And yet it's a belief as opposed to a fact.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because I can't know. It could be that all 8 billion people in the world believe one way and they think it's this way. And I would still not know. Because I can't really read their minds and know if that's actually.
Yeah.
I can only guess for myself, and I think that frightens us.
I know that in
religions it's like that. If people don't agree with my belief system that I've built up, that frightens me as well. It's a threat to my ego life.
Yeah, you know that could be connected to intolerance to other people's religion. It's actually like a fear.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, actually be frightened that they're messing with my sense of comfort about the hereafter. I've got everything lined up and I'm feeling comfortable, and then you come along and you tell me that I'm mistaken and that's not going to happen. So I don't want to hear about your religion, you know.
How dare you call me delusional? Well, and isn't that what we do? We set up ourselves not as the entity that we actually are, this thinking, being, breathing human, which very much like similar to an ape with a big brain, and the brain has a consciousness. But this consciousness tends to, as opposed to what's right in front of it, because of our societal rules and conditions, we create this other person that we call, it's an ego. It's not even a real person. But we become that, and so we think that who we are, what our life is. For me, I'm John. I'm this many years old. I live here. This is the work that I do, and that's, you ask me who I am, that's what I say. But that's not who I am. Those are just things about.
Yeah, what kind of coat are you going to wear today? That is not who you are, but if you wear the coat and you believe you are your coat, you really are sadly delusional.
Exactly. And then when you get into the fear of when somebody comes to you and says, "No, you're not your coat," you're afraid because that's who you think your life is. That's what you think, you believe that that's who you are. And somebody says, "Nah, maybe that's not right." And so it frightens them that you're trying to kill them.
Yeah, and the smarter ones believe who they are really is not their coat, but it's what they believe. That's who I am. I am what I believe, okay? Or I am what I think. And So that's like kind of a different kind of coat, because I think there's a thinker, but the thinker isn't what the thinker thinks.
No, no, and we get so caught up in that that we forget. We just forget that fact, and we start to really think that we are the name that our parents gave us when we were born, and we think that we are the age that people tell us, the number of years it's been, and all of that stuff is kind of a belief setup.
Yeah, and then we become our family family name, become our country, we become our planet, and all these things that we will defend to the death, right?
Well, and where it really gets amazing, as far as I'm concerned, is where the conditioning that is put on us, other people know this as well. And there's some pretty smart cookies out there who figured out how they can condition entire groups of other people into certain beliefs that will benefit the smart, right?
Yeah, well, you know, I feel a lot better if I can control what everybody else around me is thinking. I feel really good.
Absolutely. Because now it's up to you. You don't have to... You don't worry about anybody coming up and threatening your ego with death, which is the what we're talking about, death being the ultimate.
Yeah. And the unknown is very much like death in a way.
Yes.
I'm trying to figure that out, the relationship between death and the unknown.
Yeah, aren't they the same? Aren't they the very same thing?
The unknown or the unknowing. In other words, if I lose my consciousness, I become unknowing, right? I'm in a coma.
Yes.
So when I'm in a coma, we can't even find out if somebody in the coma is contented with it or frightened about being in a coma. You know, we
right.
even have no way of knowing how a comatose person is feeling.
Right. Right.
And so many people talk in the hospital where somebody is in a coma, and they say anything they want, thinking the comatose person can't hear it. How do we know he or she cannot hear it?
I don't think we do know that. In fact, I've heard people discussing quite the opposite, where they've gone and talked to people who are in a coma, and that the people woke up, came out of the coma, and they said, "Thank you very much. I remember you coming in and talking to me."
Yeah, you've heard of that, right?
I have heard of that, yeah.
And
I think another point that would make that actually seem more likely is the fact that if you play plants music, the plants will grow better for you.
Yeah. And also if you talk to an unborn baby when it's still in the uterus,
yes.
they do feel like the baby will be in better shape when it's born too. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, and I wouldn't be all kooky about that and be like I've seen on some comedies where the mother is so into that she's putting headphones on her extended belly to try to get the kid to listen to Mozart in there. But even so, it does show that there's something going on there that's a little bit different than the consciousness that I'm aware of here and now.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, it's probably very likely different, but I don't know if that means annihilation. And that's the real fear people have.
Yeah.
Is the fear of complete annihilation.
It's faulty thinking because it's based on an assumption, and you know what they say about assumptions, right?
Yes.
So it's a big assumption that when they die, they don't exist.
Yes.
And it doesn't
make a whole lot of sense either when you think of the rules of the laws of physics and how you can't actually add or take energy. It can change, but it doesn't ever go away. It doesn't disappear. It changes, but it doesn't go away, right? And I think that's what we're talking about.
Correct. What doesn't go away?
Energy.
Oh, energy. Oh, yeah.
Right.
Energy, you know, and you know what Einstein said about energy? Energy is equivalent to matter, right? Mass.
Yes.
Right? But he went down from energy to mass, but if he went in the other direction and he went up from mass to energy, the next level up is consciousness, I would say, or thought.
Very possible. And I just don't know. I just don't know. But it's very possible.
Yeah. I'm just making a projection there, a conjecture that There is no such thing as the destruction of energy. Nothing is created or destroyed. It's always been. And the more finesse, the more crude level of energy is mass. When Einstein shows we can take energy and turn it into matter, but if you can go that way, shouldn't we be able to go the opposite way, to go from energy up the other direction towards something more refined than energy even? And what's the closest thing you can think of that's even more powerful than energy and more invisible and more subtle?
It could be consciousness.
That's why I just, yeah, that's right. Consciousness can be manifested into energy. Energy can be downloaded into matter. Matter could be, like you have a tree and you need firewood. You can change that matter into smoke, which seems to disappear into nothing. You know, here you have like a huge tree. You have a huge tree that...
But it doesn't actually disappear in that case. It changes into heat and smoke, and all the things that were put into it are then again dispersed, so that the tree goes up into the sky and it hits the clouds that are up there. And then from there, the clouds rain, and the same rain comes down and hits the grass that had been growing under that tree, and now that grass takes it up, and now it's a piece of the blade of grass. Perhaps an animal comes by and eats a little piece of grass.
It keeps on changing form, but nothing ever gets destroyed.
And it goes forever, yes.
Yeah.
It's a cycle. It's not a from A to B kind of thing. It's more of a circular pattern.
So John, if we cannot really destroy matter and something even more intangible, you can't even get your hands on it, would be energy, and you cannot destroy energy. You can convert it, let's say, down or up, but if you can't really destroy energy and you refine energy up to thought, you're really, really not going to be able to destroy thought, you know. And what if thought is the same of consciousness, and what if the consciousness is the same of you, me, and everybody that's listening to us right now?
Right.
And that's indestructible, out there being frightened to death about what's going on in the world.
Well, there you have it.
Yeah.
The one task, I think, is to become more aware and focused on the now, and on being where we are and what we're doing. And trying to help people to understand that we do this sort of naturally, and there's the natural things that occur to us that happens to all of us, and there's also the conditioning that happens to us based on where we live, what our society is doing, what those powers that be are putting down as their dogmas and their time. So we try to keep track of that. Personally, I try to make sure that I'm kind to other people while that's going on, because it's hard. It can be very difficult to sort it all out, understand I'm a little bit afraid of this thing that I call dying, because I don't know what it is, but it's okay. Every single other of the billion been this, they've all done. And while I haven't heard anything all that wonderful about it, I also haven't heard much bad.
I heard a radio show the other day called Coast to Coast, and they had somebody on who was explaining reincarnation.
Oh, nice.
They got questions from the listening audience around the country, and one person asked, if everybody keeps coming back and you give it like 1 million years or 100,000 years, isn't the earth going to get crowded? So that was a good question. Like, more and more people are born, and all these souls keep going, living forever, and keep coming back into bodies. They're going to have to get arrange a reservation for themselves for the next trip in, because they're going to run out of houses and cars and bodies.
I will not have a place to lay my weary head.
Right. But I won't even have a weary head, you know.
I think also that's part of why, that in some of the theories of reincarnation that I've heard, the point isn't to just keep coming back and keep coming back and back and back over and over and over again. It's that what we're doing here is like, this is kind of like a school that we're at, and we've been told in the school, and we're a little bit slow on the uptake, us humans are. And I have to admit to that. I'm a little bit slow on the uptake on some of these lessons.
Yeah.
The lessons are repeated until I finally understand. And it may take more than just one or two lives to be able to figure it out.
Yeah. But I think it would help. It'd be helpful if we had good training when we're little. Instead of, one of the books I read said that when somebody is reincarnated and they're a little, they've just been reincarnated, so they're like 2 months old, how come by the time they're 3 or 4 or 5 months old, how come they can't remember who they were before they reincarnated?
That's another good question that comes up. Another one.
Yeah.
And I don't even presume to know the answers to any of these questions. But I have guesses that I can, and I can do the best I can with what I've got. You know, it disappoints me as well that we don't think more about that kind of a thing than we do about what our society and the oligarchy that runs the United States doesn't want us to be thinking about philosophy. They much prefer us to be kind of sort of automatons that are smart enough to push the buttons to make the machinery work for them, but not smart enough to question.
Yeah. So when these little minds are reborn, if they're reborn or if they're born for the first time, they're like sitting ducks to be brainwashed by their parents, right?
Yes.
And then if that doesn't do it, they'll be brainwashed by their outer family or by their neighborhood or by their school or by on and on and on. So how?
No wonder. There's no wonder they can't remember.
Yeah, and if they suddenly come up with some kind of a baby who's born screaming to death, they think, oh, gee. This baby needs to be medicated, you know, and they'll give the baby something to quiet him down. But for all we know, they were screaming because they just got, murdered or something, or kidnapped and murdered or something.
Yeah.
So then they were murdered, and then there they are getting reincarnated just after a horrible experience. So some babies are born screaming to death, aren't they? And then other babies, as soon as they come out, they're smiling.
Right. Kids, you look at some little babies, and they look old.
Yeah, I've heard of that. Yeah, some of them, and they smile like they know what's going on.
Yes,
they look
they
at you, and the mother, they look at them and think, oh, my God, my grandfather smiled like that, you know.
and the little baby is thinking, oh, my goodness, these people are as stupid as they look.
So here we are. We're just you and I, John, are just sailing through our thought. We're sailing through thought, and we have a limited time. But imagine if the entire world had this conversation with each other several times in their childhood, growing up, and we're tackling these questions. What would that do if they discussed this, and instead of learning that they come from a certain tribe or a certain nation or a family, and they don't have to defend the family name anymore, they just have to defend the word human. What a relief, you know.
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Yeah.
And I hope they can. I hope they do. And if they hear this, then maybe they'll do this themselves. Grab somebody close to them. Say, hey, what do you think about stuff?
Yeah.
What do you think it is when we die? What do you think about reincarnation?
Yeah. Because it certainly gets rid of, like, caste system, like, immediately, you know.
Yes, which is silly. That whole stuff, that divide and conquer stuff, powers that be have used on everybody else since we started this business of having a society. That stuff is just getting tired. I think people are done with it. It's just it's having a lot of blast, little rumblings right now of they're scared that it's going to be taken away from the people who have that power. And it is going to be taken away from them. Frankly, it's going to be taken away because they never should have had it.
Okay, guess what?
We have
a chance to offer this podcast to the entire population on Earth, and so they can start thinking about our suggestions.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We can actually take what we just said and see if we can spread it around and have other people like imitate us and maybe even do better than we did, John.
Oh, that would be wonderful. I'd love to hear it.
Shrinkwrapper.com. Bye.